It's a jungle out there among the large language models where the cryptids roam, chomping up hidden stands of data, contacting uncontacted content. Luckily, somebody is in there with a big machete to hack back the undergrowth, chop some viper vines, and see if anything good is happening. And that's how Jennifer Walsh came across the invisible literatures of the internet for her latest Things Know Things.
I've spent the last week playing with various new AI music generation platforms, cutting-edge networks that can whip up a piece of music to your specifications within minutes. You want a disco track with yodeling at the drop? You got it. You want a jazz tune which morphs into a drum and bass banger? Sure thing. You want something in the style of Bach, but with lo-fi beats and the choir should sing about cats? No problem. In the last few days alone, I've generated over 500 tracks, and I've spent hours listening to this material, sorting the wheat from the chaff, noticing where the network hits dead ends, where it makes unexpected choices, trying to understand the decisions that it makes. After so much time listening to these tracks, the overriding sensation I'm left with, though, is that when I listen to these outputs, I'm not actually listening to music in the normal sense. I'm listening to what the British sci-fi author J.G. Ballard called invisible literatures. Ballard described invisible literatures as the scientific journals, technical manuals, pharmaceutical company brochures, think tank internal documents, PR company position papers, that universe of published material to which most literate people have scarcely any access, but which provides the most potent compost for the imagination, end quote. As someone who prizes a copy of the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders, Volume 4, I found in a bin in New York in 2009, I have delighted in the fact that machine learning research has yielded huge troves of invisible literatures in text, image, and audio form. I trawl the web for AI research papers with interesting examples attached and file them away. The Meredith Monk-esque babbling voices featured in WaveNet, a generative model for raw audio. The modernist poetics of generating sentences from a continuous space.
With a variety of pots strewn scattered across the vast expanse of the high ceiling, a vase of colourful flowers adorned the tops of the rose petals, littered the floor and littered the floor.
The strange modular synth imitations of animals from modelling animal vocalizations through synthesizers. I delight in all this unwitting strangeness. None of these sounds or texts were intended to be art. They're simply demonstrations of technology. And I feel that the same goes for all the tracks I've generated, regardless of the quality of the sounds. When we listen to a piece of music generated using AI, we may hear it as music, but we also hear it as a piece of invisible literature. We listen to AI-generated tracks technically, whether we are aware of that or not, because each track is a demonstration of the technology in action. Each track constitutes a sonification of the dataset the network was trained on. Each track is a demo of a commercial product. If we listen from that position, consciously, actively, it's a rich experience which can teach us a lot. It requires work, but it's worth doing, because we can then apply that mode of understanding to the rest of the AI around us.
That was Jennifer Walsh there on the sound of invisible literatures.